I'm David Lauderdale. We're here with Dr. Gwatz, and we are Brian Tolley, our executive editor, and Rick Brundrett, our projects editor. Tell us why you're running.
I'm running for the District 9 school board seat because of the nepotism fiasco in the past year and the current school board's ineffective management of the fiasco. And I feel that I can bring experience and qualifications to the board that are not currently on the board. I'm a physician, I'm a business owner with board experience, and I'm the parent of 3 Beaufort County School District graduates.
Were you involved with the schools when your kids came through in any way?
Oh, very much so. My husband and I were involved with each of our 3 children from kindergarten through 12th grade, going to attending the open houses, the activities, the orchestra productions, all those sort of things. I also volunteered in the schools, like during testing or activities, sports.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Have y'all been in Bluffton this whole time?
We moved to Hilton Head in 1989, and then we moved to Bluffton into District 9, what is now District 9, in 1994. So we've been here 22 years in this district.
And your kids, are they through with college?
2 of the 3 sons are through with college. They both graduated from Princeton University, earning engineering degrees in computer science. And our youngest son is a sophomore at Princeton now in the same major.
Wow.
Well,
thank you.
What is the, tell me about the board's management. You said fiasco and the board's management. What does that mean?
First
what would
of
you
all,
do about it?
Okay. Well, first of all, when it came out publicly that the superintendent had changed the nepotism policy and hired his wife to the $90,000 position that was newly created. And that was, I believe, in about August of 2015. Nothing was going to be done about that, even though there was a public outcry, until 2 concerned citizens reported it to the South Carolina State Ethics Commission. And then they were, through their reporting, is how he ultimately ended up having to plead guilty to violating 2 of the 3 ethics acts that were being considered.
What in that whole situation did you feel was absolutely wrong?
Well,
I mean, are you against all of it, everything that happened, or where do you feel like the board went wrong?
First of all, nepotism is something that's normally, most businesses have policies against nepotism to prevent an incident like this happening. So he changed that policy without the board's input. It should be the board that is looking at that policy, not the superintendent, since he has to abide by that policy. Then, you know, once they knew all about this, they did nothing about it. And it, as I already just said, it was 2 concerned citizens, really, that brought it to the forefront, to the Ethics Commission. I think at a very minimum, he should have received a reprimand, and a developmental plan should have been implemented by the board for the superintendent to undergo ethics training. And what happened also last fall is they did not complete his performance review in a timely fashion. He was to have his performance review completed, I believe it was October 20th, and they didn't do that. And so he automatically, last year, got a $22,000 bonus. Now, that was related to his performance prior to this nepotism issue, but they knew about the nepotism issue, so...
And so now it's widely believed that we've got a dysfunctional board that is deeply divided into certain segments. That's going to continue even after this election. How do you, if elected, how would you help fix that?
Well, one seat at a time. Hopefully we can get people in there who value the importance of open and ethical governance, and I will be one of those representatives. Try to, you know, lead by example. I definitely think the school board needs to put more value on the community input. I've been to many board meetings, and you know, the public is allowed to comment for 3 minutes, and you never hear any answer from the school board. I believe in some situations they answer the person's questions or comments, maybe in a 10-day period or something, with some type of written material, letter or something like that. But the people that are there in the community, you never hear how that was handled or resolved. And I think if we're having public comments, we need public answers.
We talked about, we've been talking about community input with the candidates today, using last night's meeting about makeup days as an example. That process, do you think it was handled well, or what's your perception?
No, I was at the board meeting all 3 hours and 20 minutes of it, and it was a 45-minute discussion about how to make up these days that were missed because of the storms. And I was also at the prior board meeting where they also discussed it. They showed out on slides last night that the superintendent had queried employees of the school district and parents. And they had about, I believe, 2,000 employees respond, and it was only 700 parents respond. And there's 22,000 students in the district. So the superintendent did make a comment that he had the parental survey had gone out late. So he had 3%, you know, 700 over 22,000 is what, 3% of, you know, students' parents gave some input. They had four options in that, I guess, survey. And all the principals in every school, I believe it was high schools, I mean, I believe elementary and middle schools were included. It was mostly referencing high schools because this affects mostly the high school courses. So every principal wanted to have the Christmas break shortened and have those extra days put into the Christmas break, so then the students would go right from having the coursework into taking the tests. The other option, or one of the other four options, was to take the school missed days and tack them on to extend the semester to January and tack them on later, but then leaving the Christmas break the way it was, so they'd have like 2.5 weeks off and then come back and have to take the exams. So the most popular selection by both the employees, principals, and the community was to, let me think here, it was the fourth option, and it was the one to... I believe it was to
cut into the winter break.
Cut into the winter break, right. And yet they decided by vote to do the other option, which was to place them into the, extend the semester and place them in January, which also means then they have to extend the school year and change the graduation dates.
And which option were you personally thought was best?
Personally, I thought they should not eliminate any of the school days. And my understanding is some of the days are going to be eliminated by this. I think the school board has some ability to do that by vote, and also I think they can apply to the state to get some of the days eliminated.
Right.
Student instruction is most important.
What I'm getting at, though, is one of the four options, which was your personal pick?
I mean, there's pros and cons to those two, and those are the two best ones, you know, making it part of the Christmas break and shortening the Christmas break, or having it flow over into January, because obviously some people have their travel plans for the Christmas break already, you know, set in stone and have paid a lot of money for that. So the downside, of course, to having them in January is that they'll have this break from their class, and then they'll come back and take the exam. So they are going to try to, I think, they were accommodating some review days in there to then take the exams. That's probably ideal, I'd say, and then just extend the end of the year So my choice would be the what they did end up doing. But that really wasn't what the employees and parents wanted.
That's where I was kind of leading you to that is where do you stand on the I've been elected by my constituents,
uh-huh.
and if they speak as a group for something, do you represent them and go, this is what my people who elected me want, so this is what I'm going to do? Or do you believe that I've been elected because of my expertise and how I do go about my business, and so maybe 54% of the people wanted option four, but my heart, my experience tells me that option one was the best. How do you vote? How do you sync those?
Well,
two
I think
things?
that could be a difficult decision, and it probably you have to make it on a case by case basis. But yes, in general, you've been elected by the voters in District 9, and you need to represent what their thoughts are. Now, if let's say you have some issue where 51% of them think this is the way to go and 49% this is the way to go, then probably, yeah, what you think is best there might be the way to handle it, or at least have a discussion with them why you're choosing this if that's not what they really had favored, and give your reasons, especially if you thought something was not good for some serious issue, i.e. safety, like, let's say, having the students go to school on election day. Well, we know there's tons of cars out, and we don't want children hit, so even if the parents say, let's send the children that day, I mean, you can have a very valid reason for not going along with that.
Well, was it a chance then for the school board to take some authority over the superintendent? If he had favored an option that didn't pass.
Yeah, and it was left last night, too. I know I read Rebecca's article, Lurie's article about it, and it was also left last night that they still hadn't decided, even after they voted, of which plan they wanted to do. That was still up in the air about some of the days, whether they could switch them a little bit, which ones were, I think, teacher-only days and which ones were student days that they had to attend. So it still wasn't real clear. And at that point, after, honestly, 3+ hours with no dinner, I don't think I may have been the best listener.
Yeah. What are your thoughts about the 1% sales tax for the school district?
I'm not in favor of it because I don't think it's been presented well to the public. The list of projects that it's going to fund is $217 million in total, and the sales tax will raise about $313 million over 10 years. It's in place for 10 years. And all those lists, capital projects on that list, we don't know really their necessity, you know, which ones are absolute must-haves or which ones are kind of improvements or, you know, wish list kind of thing. And we don't know the associated maintenance costs or operational expenses associated with those. At least that has not been released to the public. It's a big increase in the tax because it would set the sales tax going from 6% to 7%, which is a 16% increase. Sales tax is a regressive tax. It's going to hurt the families with lower income. 60% of Beaufort County School District students receive reduced or free meals. So it would really hurt a lot of the students' families. So
you mentioned increasing minimum teacher salary.
Mm-hmm.
Very popular. How do you pay for it?
Well, I think we have to look at it very, very carefully and not just, you know, throw money out there. I think we need to look at it with the purpose of we want to attract and retain the best teachers that we can. I think maybe in the answer that I gave for the Island Packet Survey, I suggested that first the administration come up with a plan of stepwise increasing the minimum salary. Right now it's about $37,000, and so maybe to have a plan where what it would be if it was $40,000, going to $45,000, going to $50,000, and then I think we should have the community involved to decide what is the best teacher compensation package? Should we have a longevity bonus? Should we have a cost of living adjustment? We live in the most expensive county in South Carolina. Right now they've thrown kind of a housing stipend at them. They don't think they called it a housing stipend. I believe they called it a living stipend. And they started in 2015, the teachers got $1,000 per year, and it's going to increase by $1,000 per year until 2019 when it's a $5,000 stipend for each teacher. But that's a lot of money. That stipend alone cost $15 million in 2019. But is that the best way? I don't know. I mean, it needs to be looked at, and we need input from, you know, other people, business leaders, people that are used to looking at problems like this.
How about the gap that we have in Beaufort County, of test scores showing a large gap between portions of the county, certain schools in the county, certain districts of the county? What can be done? What do you see as an issue? What can be done about that?
Well, the district has implemented a program this year called 100 Voices, mm-hmm. Which is helping African-American students, and last night I learned it's just males, not females, to their children who they have identified as nearly proficient in grades 3 through 5. So they're kind of just, it sounds like, below where we would like them to be, at least, as a minimum. And they're going to be mentored and put with certain teachers, i.e. I gather the teachers that maybe are better teachers or better at instruction with students. And they're going to have them for, I don't know if it's going to be a one-year program or 2 years or what it is exactly. And maybe they're getting federal funds for it, and maybe it has to just be, I assume that's why it's just African-Americans, and maybe that's just why it's males, I'm not sure. That was not presented to the public. So that's one thing. I think we really need a good parental outreach program. If a student is going to be successful in school, they've got to have a home environment that's conducive to learning. You know, they can't be staying up to midnight and being hauled out of bed at 6 a.m. and eat some sugary cereal and go off on the bus. I mean, that's just not, they're not going to do well. So we need, and people need to be taught how to raise or how to instill the importance of education in their children. Not everybody, you know, has been raised that way or is knowledgeable about that or has an interest about it.
What do you see in the future of the schools on Hilton Head Island? The demographics have changed dramatically. I suppose they're roughly half minority.
Mm-hmm.
A number of non-English speakers.
Well, I was thinking about this coming over here today. I think if we don't get a strong school board and really have our school district try to rise to higher standards, we're going to end up with a two-tiered system. I think we're going to end up with the public school, and anybody who can afford private education will be in private education. And I think I personally don't think that's good in the long run. I obviously am a firm believer in the public school system. I entrusted my children to the school system. I myself am a product of elementary and secondary public schooling. And it's important I think it's one of the great advantages of being a public school student is you learn how to interact with everyone. And sometimes when you go off to a private school, you're, you know, in your little niche or whatever, and you're not really interacting with all types of folks, and in life you have to usually interact with lots of different people.
What is your top priority?
I think that my top priority is to regain the trust of the community, and I don't think the school board can move forward without the trust of the community. And to do that, we have to, one, you know, value the community's input and proactively seek the input from the community. And we have to conduct business in an ethical and transparent manner. Those are probably the main things that we have to do.
So specifically, what would you do if you ran into a situation where you felt the board was going into executive session when they shouldn't. What do you do?
You point it out to people that this is happening and you don't think it's correct, and so you would say that this should not be discussed in this executive session, and if people are saying, well, no, we're going to still discuss it, I guess you would walk out, because that's not right. And that's been one of the issues here, is that I think they're probably, certainly employee matters probably and pending legal issues are normally discussed in executive closed-door sessions, but they're also, I think, discussing other information illegally to hide it from the public. That's what it seems like. But I am not privy to those discussions. And also, I also wondered, why was the superintendent in the closed-door executive session when they were discussing his bonus, as I recall. I think it was his bonus or these unethical acts. I can't remember which it was, but it was part of this whole thing. And then he was pointing out that some of the board members had not filed their, plan or their...
Income disclosure.
Right, those reports, filed reports with the South Carolina Ethics Commission. And I was like, well, why was he in that discussion? Anyways, he shouldn't have been there.
Well, how do you see the board reacting with the superintendent? What input do you have? What do you see as a way to be more in charge than a superintendent is in charge when that's his job, that's his profession?
Well,
and
he's
you're
in charge.
Sort of a part-timer.
True. He's in charge of the school district employees, but the board is in charge of him. That's the way I look at it, that the board is managing him. And it's not easy. I'll be the first to say it's not easy. And, it's not pleasant to be reprimanding people, but, I have quite a bit of experience managing employees, and I've had to terminate an employee. I had one who had gross misconduct, and ultimately I had to get law enforcement involved. So that's not pleasant, but that's part of the job, and I'm willing to do that. And I think we just need to do it one seat at a time and try to just do the best we can and try to be fair.
Well, Brian had asked this earlier. What are you hearing out there when you go meet with people, organizations, and at forums and whatnot? What's on the people's mind in Bluffton?
I would say what actually the Island Packet has been reporting, in the sense that there's big public outcry about what's happened in the past year. We've had this whole focus on this one issue, and we really need to be focusing on education in general and trying to make Beaufort County schools better. And I think the public, since they don't have trust in the superintendent or school board, I would be very surprised if either of the school referenda passed the sales tax or the bond.
If you were elected, would you recommend retaining Mr. Moss as superintendent? Why not?
Yes, this is, I thought about that a lot too. So back in August of 2016, when the South Carolina Ethics Commission found him in violation of two of the three ethics acts, the school board did meet then, and they did not discipline him in any way. So I think at this point it's too late to discipline for that, because they've already met over that. But I think, as I already mentioned, I think ethics training would be a good thing. I think right now I believe he has annual performance reviews, and I probably would suggest implementing maybe 6-month, twice yearly performance reviews. And this year, he's due right now for his performance review, and they've extended it by a month because the deadline has already passed. So I would give him a rating of unsatisfactory performance this year because of this whole thing that's taken place in this time period. And then 6 months later, review him again. And if he got two consecutive unsatisfactory reviews, I think he should go.
Is there anything we haven't asked you that you want to talk about?
Sure. I have one suggestion. And that is, I myself have voted early. last week because I'll be working on Election Day, and there are lots and lots of people voting early, so I wish your timeline was just a little sooner. And I don't know if anybody else has mentioned that to you. And it seems like it's an inordinate amount of people voting early, especially the older folks, you know, because they don't want to deal with the crowds and can't get out there on as easily as the younger people get on Election Day.
Yeah.
I don't know, what do you see, guys?
Well, that's a good point. I think we are cutting it a little close, and, yeah. And I'm going to blame the hurricane.
I
got off track at least 1 week. Okay. I got off, but we cut them kind of close, thinking we'll hear all the issues.
Yeah, and obviously it affected all of our campaigns, but you had to be, you know, mindful of not.
But early voting is definitely, that's a phenomenon, and that's a good point.
Yeah. I think a lot of people want convenience as opposed to knowing they're going to wait a couple hours if they go on Election Day. Yeah. Yeah, the hurricane threw in a lot of wrenches to everybody's businesses or homes. Yeah.
Well, good. Well, we appreciate you coming.
Thank you.
Very much.
Thank you.
All right, yes. I brought the